From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Some residents of the La Crosse area may be itching to get into their home gardens, but others don't have access to garden space, resources, or knowledge to grow their own fresh foods. Today we're talking about two organizations working to provide fresh, locally grown produce to children and neighborhoods through community gardens. We're here with Todd Huffman, Garden Coordinator for the Cane Street Community Garden, and Jamie O'Neill, Executive Director of Grow La Crosse, a nonprofit that supports a network of local school gardens. Todd, I wonder if you could start by talking a little bit about what community gardening looks like in the La Crosse area, because I know we have a number of organizations kind of working in this area.
Right. Well, our Cane Street Community Garden is organized as an all-together garden. So we have about an acre and a half there on the north side, and that's land we're renting from the city. And so you would come there and work together to grow the garden. There's no separate plots. I know there is other gardens in Holman and Washburn Garden. You would maybe get your own plot. But ours is organized where we do it all together as a community.
Yeah, and Jamie, I mean, it sounds like there are a lot of different ways to go about community gardening. And I know your organization does it through schools.
Yes, we currently serve 6 elementary schools around the La Crosse area. So that's 4 elementary schools in La Crosse and then 2 just outside of La Crosse in La Crescent and Coon Valley. And we both help the schools maintain the garden because, as you said, sometimes that can be hard with gardens. And then we also do school garden education with the classes at the schools that we're in.
How do you feel like all of these different community garden programs maybe fit together?
Yeah, they work together really nicely because if a school or if a child is in a school where we run a school garden program, you know, they're able to see maybe a few raised garden beds and different plants. And then they can go over and maybe take a field trip to Cane Street Garden and see things on a larger scale. We also work with Deep Roots Community Farm, and that also allows field trips to let kids see things on a bigger scale. And they also have animals as well. So you're seeing a big part of the food system.
So I want to start by kind of digging into each of your organizations. So Todd, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about how the Cane Street Community Garden got started.
Right. That was in 1999. And there was just some visionary people that one of them was Linda Lee from the food, the county director of food programs, and Marilyn Hurt worked for the food system in schools, and Sue Schultz, and they found the site. And then the Hunger Task Force is a hunger group. So we also have a large food bank, which is actually kind of a bigger part of the organization. That group picks up well over 1 million pounds of food that's donated and is delivered to pantries and meal sites. So the two go together really well because our overflow can go to the food bank. And we even could bring food from the food bank out to the garden when we give out food. So we were started just by people that said, let's just turn these 2 blocks into a garden. It's close to 2 acres. And our goal is to raise a lot of food. Like we'll have 600 tomato plants. For instance, we grew over 8,000 pounds of tomatoes 2 years ago. And our goal is to raise 30,000 pounds, and we can do that if we get enough helpers, which we always seem to get a lot of great volunteers. We love the volunteers, and we really couldn't do it without volunteers. I'm there, and there's another part-time opening, and then we need a lot of volunteers, so everyone's invited to come out.
Yeah, I mean, who typically volunteers at the garden?
Well, today there were 4 or 5 people that I would say are kind of retired people. And there was also 6 college students came by. So it's whoever is available. We are daytime. We're open Monday through Saturday, 4 to 6 hours a week. So that sense, you kind of have to be available. But I think the retired people are amazingly available and committed. You don't have to be retired to come, though. But I just so in awe of, you know, how people give of their time. We have people that come 6 days a week. Not very many. but you're welcome to come once a week, once a month, one time. I would just say anyone could come by, drop in and see how it looks, and then come back. Hopefully they want to help. By helping, you're growing, you really can take home some food for yourself and for your community.
Yeah, how is the food distributed?
Well, we give it out on Monday and Thursday at 5 o'clock and Saturday at noon. So we pick just before that three times a week. And we sign in the volunteers when they arrive, and we call the names in order. So whoever volunteered the longest that day will go through first. And we used to, long ago, we'd say like, oh, you can have one tomato, and we'd kind of tell them what they could have. But now we just say, you can have whatever you want, but just maybe look around you and see who else is in line. We might give a guidance, like in August, it could be you can have about 10 pounds, or now we're picking some spinach, and you can maybe have a pound. But we give them a little guidance, but we just ask them to share with their community. And it's worked out pretty good. It's actually worked out better to do it that way than to tell someone exactly how many of each vegetable they can have. And also then the overflow goes back to the warehouse, and that can get delivered to like 92 sites. There actually is 92 different programs that are partners with Hunger Task Force.
So obviously this garden has been around for a long time, and I just wonder, you know, what community need is this filling that people are still, you know, kind of pouring in their efforts to keep this community garden going?
Well, I would say we start as a food group, so we're filling a need to grow the food. Our goal is 30,000 pounds, and that's important. We want it to stay big, and we're planting the whole. I want to plant every square foot, and then if we harvest in June, we'll plant it again. So we're growing real intensively. But I think beyond that, it's your growing. Really, our motto on our flyer says growing together to nourish the community. So really, not just growing the food, but growing as a person, and then growing as a community that you're helping to, helping your neighbor. We have school groups come of all ages. We have, big school groups come. We have some second graders coming next month, and a lot of middle schoolers, high schoolers, college. So, I hope all the young people especially get a message you're doing this to help others. You know, there's a lot of people in our city that probably don't have enough food, and or food is kind of expensive. So by growing the food, you're helping to feed others.
I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but I wonder if there's a particular story of a volunteer or someone who came to get food at the garden who you really feel like embodies that.
Oh, wow, I know we had, I will mention a guy that, he didn't take home a lot of food, but he was a retired physician. A lot of people know him as the Tomato Man, George Fulford, and he unfortunately passed away last year, but he was 76, and he would come 6 days a week. And we have 600 tomato plants, and he wanted to take care of them. He was passionate about sharing his knowledge. He was an expert gardener on tomatoes especially. And we have people like that. And he was really just grasped the goal of feeding other people. But we have a lot of people that, the low-income people, that they come and help. Like, it's not like we're just going to give you the food. We do ask that you work an hour if possible. And we have all sorts of jobs. Like a lot of people maybe can't bend over so much. Well, they could wash the vegetables or weigh them. There's definitely something for everyone.
Yeah. That's Todd Huffman, Garden Coordinator for the Cane Street Community Garden, here with us today to talk about local programs inspiring La Crosse area residents to get their hands dirty and grow fresh food. He's joined by Jamie O'Neill, Executive Director of Grow La Crosse. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Jamie, I'll turn to you and kind of have you start by talking a little bit about how Grow La Crosse got started.
Yeah, so we've been around officially for a little over 4 years, but even before that, there was a group of parents that formed to try to figure out how to best encourage their kids to eat healthy once they go into the elementary school. These moms had stayed at home with their kids and felt like they were giving up or losing some control maybe as the kids go into elementary school. And as the birthday parties and things like that started, they just wanted to make sure there was as much positive influence as there was maybe sugar influence. I was not a parent at that time, but had just graduated from UWL in the Community Health Master's Program. And I had come to this looking for a way to help kids eat healthier. I had been working at a boarding school and came to study different initiatives and try to figure out which one was the most effective in getting kids to eat healthier. So I looked at just giving away food. Like for instance, in La Crescent for a bit, they put an apple or an orange on every kid's tray, just thinking, you know, that would increase the kids' fruit intake by at least one, which is helpful. But unfortunately, some of them put it right into the garbage because they felt forced to eat that. And I'm not picking on them. Initiatives we have to try to see how we can get people to eat healthier. But the more research I read, the more it was showing that school garden education was one of the top ways to get kids to eat healthier. So I joined the group about probably 6 or 7 years ago as it was just starting to form. And then we got our 501c3, which means nonprofit status, in 2014. So again, we're on our like four and a half years of officially being GROW. And yeah, now we are at 6 different schools. We built kind of slowly because we wanted to make sure that once we were in a school, we were really getting to know that school, really offering quality program before moving on to another school.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about who is actually tending the garden and the plants that you're growing.
Yeah, so at each school, we help maintain the garden and oversee that maintenance by letting kids maintain it while we're doing some educational programming and then offering volunteer work days as well. But the education sessions are open to any class at the schools that we're supporting. So anywhere from 4K all the way up to 5th grade in the elementary schools can come out. We also serve Gunderson Child Care, so we do some preschool lessons as well. But any teacher who is interested can come. And last year was, I want to say, our 5th year at State Road Elementary. That was the first school that we started at, and 100% of the teachers signed up for every single lesson because we do make it quite easy for them in terms of preparation. They actually don't have to prepare anything. The teacher can just sign up and come out with their students. So we try to make it as easy as possible so that the teachers can concentrate on their teaching while they're in the classroom and then come out to the garden, and then we help lead those sessions.
What happens with the food that you guys grow?
Yeah, so it actually gets distributed 3 different ways. The first is just during the garden education lessons, we try to have tasting time. So for instance, last year we, or maybe 2 years ago, did an arugula pesto that we made with the kids. And a lot of kids were asking for to pick fourths in the garden of arugula because now they knew what it tasted like. It's kind of cool because it's a little spicier than other lettuce. So they eat some right during their classroom time in the garden. We also do pick extra produce and put it in the garden, or sorry, in the cafeteria salad bar, so kids can eat it through there. And cafeteria staff have said that when they label it from the garden, kids are eating it much faster because they helped plant it, sometimes even harvest it before it went into the cafeteria. In the third place, the food goes is when volunteers come during the summer. So we have family volunteers help maintain the gardens. They can take some produce home after helping with the garden. And then in the summer as well, we do have summer school classes at these sites, and they also utilize that fresh produce.
Why do you think that connection with the garden is encouraging kids to eat more of this produce?
Well, so the research shows that when you're planting and harvesting and learning how to prepare that food, that's breaking down a lot of knowledge barriers. If you were just to read something on how to prepare or plant something, that's much harder to learn than if you're actually in person there learning to do those things. So, for instance, Brussels sprouts. If you've never seen Brussels sprouts grow, and all you're seeing it is on your tray or maybe in the grocery store, you may have no clue how to prepare and eat Brussels sprouts. However, if somebody shows you how to cut them in half and roast them with a little olive oil and salt, you're probably much more likely then in the future to know how to prepare those and even use them. So I think garden education really helps break down those barriers from being something unknown to something people are really familiar with.
Todd, I imagine that there is education happening as well at the community garden, maybe among neighbors.
Yeah, definitely. I would think, I think of gardening as like you learn by doing. So I definitely believe we're teaching every day. Like if we're going to go out and plant the cabbages in the ground, you'll see the way we do it to prepare the soil and plant. And in that way, it's a lesson. We also do have some like more formal lessons. I know in, starting on April 29th, every Monday and Thursday for 10 classes, there's one of our volunteers has offered to teach classes about permaculture, which is combining like perennial plants in agriculture, the fruit trees and berry bushes and herbs. So that'll be every Monday and Thursday. So we do some of that also.
Why do you think that kind of education is important to have in the community? I'm especially thinking for if someone's coming from a family where they haven't gardened before.
Well, yeah, I think I would like to see everyone grow some food. Like you could have a container in a pot and grow a cherry tomato. That would be your garden. I think it's real important for people to see where their food comes from and to see what you put on your garden and how you produce it. Because in general, I think people probably are pretty got far away from their food. And I would agree with what Jamie said on the Brussels sprouts. It's not a popular vegetable. And if you've never eaten it, then you have an issue there. But by growing it, for sure, you're gonna want to pick it and take it home. And we always kind of kid people, like if even a kid or even an adult, if they plant that cabbage, like, well, you're going to come back and take care of it, right? And they don't have to, but we hope they'll come back and then maybe harvest it. Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie, I wonder how often you get kids who maybe have never grown vegetables before or maybe didn't know how that process works.
Yeah, it's really fun to see them discover things for the first time. I mean, ideally, it wouldn't be their first time, but when we do get to see that and the excitement in it, it is really amazing and fun to see them excited about that whole process. And I would agree with Todd that just really connecting them to that local food and their food system can be a first for some of them in the garden.
Jamie, you mentioned that Grow La Crosse started out of this interest in really making sure kids are getting healthy food. And you know, I wonder if you could talk about why community gardening and just this initiative of encouraging gardening is really a public health issue.
Yeah, it really is. Like you were saying, we have become pretty far removed, a lot of us, from our food sources. And so not knowing where our food comes from it makes us more likely not to choose healthy local foods. So the more we can connect back to our food system and learn about our local food system, the more that we are purchasing or growing our own local food. And if people aren't eating their fruits and vegetables, we know that connects to so many, a big array of health issues. So connecting back, eating those fruits and vegetables can really help raise the bar to the health of our community.
Yeah, Todd, I wonder if you have thoughts on this issue of, you know, why gardening is in some ways, you know, related to public health.
Well, for sure, in terms of diet, I mean, we know that, like, I would say organic vegetables and fresh local organic vegetables are about the health. They are the healthiest thing you can eat. And so in that way, I mean, there's so much food. I don't want to insult, like, other types of food necessarily, but processed food is far removed from local vegetables. So, you know, we want to eat, everyone needs to eat, and we want to encourage people to eat well. I think that eating vegetables is the basis of good health. And in that way, you know, we just have to encourage healthy behavior. It's also great exercise, for one thing, too, to grow a garden. You're out in nature, you get to interact with nature and, you know, meet other people. It's healthy just as a person to be out there in the garden and working with others. So in that way, that's good health there also.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Todd. I was going to piggyback on that a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. We're concentrating this spring and doing our theme of healthy mind, body, and soil because of all those health benefits that you're getting not only just from eating the food, but also from being out there, being out in nature. They find that if kids take a 20-minute break out in nature, so maybe a school garden or community garden, and come back in, they're more calm, they do better on tests, and their whole mental state is improved. So our mental and psychological state is improved. So we really find so many other benefits than just that healthy food aspect when people are out gardening.
Jamie, I wonder if you could share a little bit about how your program is funded.
Yeah, so we are fortunate to have many different businesses, community members, and then even the schools, their parent-teacher organizations help pitch in to what makes our school garden education and that maintenance possible. And then we also do an event every year, which gives us some of our funding as well, and we write grants. So it is coming from a large source of different funding, but we are also very efficient with our funding. We have about 6 part-time staff, and some of those are just seasonal in the summer working on the farm for the farm camps. So we have part-time staff, and each of those works with, again, a few schools or the farm camps. So any funding can really go a long way.
Yeah, and Todd, I'll kind of pose the same question to you about where funding comes from for the community garden.
There's two big programs of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. So we're a nonprofit agency that was started in 1999. So our board of directors and our executive director, Shelley Fortner, is taking on the job of raising money for sure. And they do fundraisers and grant writing. So there is, that's kind of behind the scenes. We kind of make it a point to not, we have people walk up and say, can I give you money? And I will always tell them, we're on the website and we're in the white pages. You can donate money. Yes, we would encourage that, but not at the garden, because I don't want people to think they have to give money to get the vegetables. So we are definitely, a nonprofit agency and have been for about 21 years.
What do you think, what are some of the biggest challenges for the community garden ahead? Are there concerns about funding or even things like a changing climate?
For sure the fundraising is always, for all small nonprofits, that is an issue. You need to raise money every year. So that is definitely, climate change, I definitely believe climate change is happening. The scientists tell us it is, and I think I notice it with highly variable weather. So it can rain a lot. Last year we had a lot of large rain events, and that really can throw your planting schedule into disarray. And for local organic vegetable farmers, it could really, be financially bad, because once you get off schedule in June or May, then it can affect your whole year. So I feel like we just want to be real quick, like we want to get stuff done every day, and if it's a dry day, we're going to work up the soil and plant something. We plant we have a great partner of WTC Horticulture with a greenhouse. They started planting in early February, and we're going to plant every week until mid-September. We don't just plant once and be done. We're plant. So we have to just kind of go between the rainstorms, like last year, though. It was so rainy. And we do have a real sandy site, so we're a benefit. We can work our soil early. We did plant outside last week. It was dry, and we're sandy. It was dry enough, warm enough, so we planted our root crops.
And Jamie, I wonder, very briefly, kind of what are the biggest challenges ahead for your organization?
I would say the same, just in terms of a lot of kids request more garden education. They love to see us even out at recess for open garden time or after school, and we would love to provide more opportunities. But as you said, funding can be tricky for small organizations. And then climate change has also played a factor. This year, after a very icy and then snowy weekend, our hoop house collapsed, unfortunately. So we are in the process of rebuilding that. So weather can definitely be tricky and even shorten or challenge the time we do have to plant.
Jamie O'Neill, Executive Director of Grow La Crosse, and Todd Huffman, Garden Coordinator for the Cane Street Community Garden, joined us in studio today to talk about community garden initiatives in the La Crosse area. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, including our look ahead at this year's growing season with UW Extension and a Master Gardener, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.